Doug Samea, Saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful wife, who has a deep dedication to God's Word, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love, and may you all have a joyful Thanksgiving holiday. Honey, please ask for God's blessing.
Abba, Father, we are reminded this week of all the many blessings bestowed upon your righteous in spite of the many arrows aimed upon us. We ask for increased wisdom in all things that matter, so to dwell in peace beneath your wings. May your healing grace be upon the many afflicted within your church and those affected in the Waukesha tragedy as we continue in Yeshua's name to render the enemy powerless over our lives. Please shine your face on the hearts of our lost loved ones, that they will see their need for a Savior. And may those remaining missionary hostages in Haiti be freed. We pray tonight's teaching will be a light bulb that suddenly appears in the minds and hearts of those listening. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Hagarim Sameach to everyone, which simply means Happy Holiday of Lights. But if you prefer a simpler greeting, just say Hanukkah Sameach.
Because Hanukkah begins this Sunday.
Yes, at sundown, the first candle will be lit all around the world by a lot of people.
Hanukkah is actually the Hebrew word for dedication.
Right. Specifically, the rededication of their second temple after Antiochus Epiphanes' abominations were halted, as we discussed last week, which is archived on our webpage, so shofarministries.net. And since our bodies are a temple for Jesus, it would be a good season to rededicate your flesh to a closer walk with your Savior.
Amen to that.
So tonight we will continue our Feast of Lights teaching, which represents a very unique typology of the Antichrist, but also Judah as a type of Jesus. And so much more that especially the newer listeners will benefit and dig up a truly gold nugget in just a few minutes.
But first, would you like to comment on the status of America?
Well, we don't have enough time except to say America's in crisis. We have a border crisis, a supply chain crisis, an energy crisis, an inflation crisis, an Afghanistan crisis, a jobs and unemployment crisis, a welfare crisis, and, of course, a mask and vaccine mandate crisis, causing even more unemployment. And do you think it a coincidence that Bill Gates recently warned of possible smallpox terror attacks and then some vials of the deadly smallpox virus were, they say, accidentally found at a Merck lab in Philly?
Was it really an accident, or are they setting us up?
Well, I don't know. Is it also a coincidence that a company named Sigar, that's S-I-G-A-R, is already heavily manufacturing a drug called TPOX that treats smallpox? And supposedly our government of Health and Homeland Services has ordered $113 million of it.
So, is this for us, or is it for them?
I fear the answer to that question.
I hear you.
Also, as we reported in our newsletters, Bill Gates has for quite some time been funding a project that aims to deliver an invisible quantum tattoo hidden within the coronavirus vaccines for storing your vaccination history. The researchers showed that their new dye, which consists of course, nanocrystals, called quantum dots, can remain for at least 5 years under the skin, where it emits near-infrared light. They can be detected by a specially equipped smartphone.
Probably aimed at the forehead or the hand.
No doubt, according to Revelation 13.
And they sure do want those jabs in all of us.
Yes, to defile our blood, just as in the days of Noah.
Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm. You know, Noah and his family were the only ones with undefiled blood, verse 9. And it uses the word perfect, but the Hebrew word for perfect is tamim, meaning undefiled and not tainted.
Okay, moving on, what's Israel up to?
Well, Israel has been warned by U.S. officials about carrying out attacks against Iranian nuclear sites.
Really?
Yeah, because they say such an act of aggression would be counterproductive and would likely prompt Iran to rebuild an even more sophisticated and efficient uranium enrichment system. The Jerusalem Report also added that this matter was among many disagreements between the United States and Israel. Meanwhile, Israel is also, as usual, facing numerous smaller attacks with little or no casualties, but last Sunday's shooting at an entrance to the Temple Mount did kill one Israeli by a Palestinian who was dressed as an ultra-Orthodox Jew, both to conceal his submachine gun and get closer to his victims. You know, we know it is quite popular to infiltrate under disguise, as we saw in our capital on January 6th.
Well, you know, it's the enemy's M.O.
And is why we have rhinos in our Republican Party.
Democrats in disguise. I know you have some good news.
Yes, the abortion law has been upheld in Texas, and we won the self-defense trial because it might have just been Rittenhouse for now, but this represents our victory, especially over the Second Amendment, too.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will then add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
Okay, well, last week we explained the origin of Hanukkah concerning Antiochus Epiphanes and the amazing miracle where only one day's oil lasted 8 days till they could specially process more olive oil as written in Exodus 27, which is why they light another candle every night for 8 nights, which this year begins this Sunday, November 28th, till Monday evening, December 6th. Hey, that's your birthday this year.
It is. And tonight we have a few more wonderful gold nuggets for our listeners.
Oh, we sure do. One of those nuggets, often overlooked when one reads Revelation, but right at the beginning in chapter 1, Jesus says that we, the church, is that lighted menorah in the temple that stays lit all the time, like we do, because he lives in us.
For we are his temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Amen. So in Revelation 1, verse 12, John sees Jesus standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. And then in verse 20, he very specifically says that these seven lamps represent the church.
Oh, right there.
I know. Now, how often, listeners, have you heard that we are that lighted menorah on Sunday mornings or in your Bible studies?
Not very much.
So, besides the cross, which Satan often defiles, the menorah is our special symbol too, which, by the way, has never been used by the occult, least that we know of. So I often wear a menorah, and when asked why I wear it, I explain in full while also giving the gospel. Honestly, it can be quite an attention grabber. And here's something else that is very revealing. We see that by Revelation 4, the seven lamps are in heaven, verse 5. Before the seal judgments are opened by Jesus in Revelation 6.
You know, and that's huge.
For sure. That's a light bulb confirmation for pre-trib rapture. And actually, the anti-pre-trib rapture people haven't given a good explanation for us being in heaven in chapter 4. And we have something else that's an eye-opener and fascinating.
Oh, do tell.
The official state emblem on their state seal of Israel is the menorah standing in the midst of two olive branches.
Based on the vision of Zechariah 4.
Mm-hmm. And we read in actually Romans 11 that we, the true church, has been grafted into the olive tree. So as Israel was called to be a light to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, we now are also called to be a light to not only the Gentiles, but also to Israel. And so, when I first saw these seven lamps as symbolized by the menorah declared on their own state's seal right in the middle of their olive branches, I was elated because it's like we are a team. And just look at how so many are now accepting Jesus as their Messiah, as a foreshadow of what is to come.
Well, you know, Scripture does say they will all believe one day.
It surely does. As well, this emblem is used on all their special documents and hung in all the important state institutions. And that just tickles my heart.
As it should all of us.
Mm-hmm. And since most Jewish people don't read the New Testament, they don't even see that that menorah represents the church, Revelation 1:20. It's one of those hidden but in plain sight.
Yes, God does do those kind of things.
Yeah, he hides things so we can find them. Proverbs, I think, 25:2, yes.
Okay, back to Hanukkah.
Okay, so did Jesus honor this feast of dedication?
Certainly, as he did all the feasts.
Remember, there are two feasts of light, the lesser or minor feast of Hanukkah, or dedication, and the greater feast of lights, which is tabernacles, when Solomon's temple was dedicated.
2 Kings 8.
So yes, Jesus went to the temple, but purposely at the end of Hanukkah for a specific reason. Let's read it beginning in John 10, verse 22.
Now it was.
Right, let me stop you there. That word is Jedomai, and it's number 1096. And the lexicon says it was at the end or at the finish of. In other words, on the last or eighth day of the feast. And we'll show you why that's important to know in just a minute.
Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter.
So, why did John specifically tell the reader it was in the winter? Because, as we just said, there were two. So, for those who study their Hebraic roots, would know it was Hanukkah and not assume it was the other or the greater feast of dedication called Tabernacles, which is in the fall. Okay, verse 23.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
That's where the Gentiles could be. It's called the colonnade on the eastern side of the outer court. So the Gentiles would be there to also hear what Jesus was about to declare. And it's a doozy. Verse 24.
Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand."
And here it comes. Wait for it.
Verse
30.
I and my Father are one.
And there it is. Jesus just claimed his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah. And more on that in a moment, but let's please continue in verse 31.
Then the Jews took up the stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God."
So obviously they knew exactly what he was claiming, his deity. One with the Father, thereby saying he was God, even though still today, unbelievers will say, "Jesus never said he was God."
Well, obviously, they haven't read the Gospel of John.
You think? But there is even more to all this. Why did Jesus wait to speak of his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah?
A huge reason.
We know that Jesus is the light of the world, as we too should be a light in a dark world. Many who study the roots of Judeo-Christianity know he was born in the fall, probably on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And John 1:1 says he came to tabernacle amongst us.
Well, that's what we call a clue.
It is. Therefore, counting back 280 days from his birth,
which is a full-term normal pregnancy,
brings us to exactly the eighth day of Hanukkah, the other feasts of lights. So the day that Mary would have been incarnated by the Holy Spirit when Jesus took up residence in their womb, probably at sundown on the Hebrew calendar of Tevet 1, also a new moon and a new life from heaven. And then, born in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, conveniently, on a full moon.
The fullness of time on a full moon.
On the first day of Tabernacles, Tishri 15. So, knowing this, since Hanukkah is always near the traditional Christmas season, you have another important reason to celebrate.
For his incarnation is the greater miracle.
But regardless of your eschatological stance, the most important reason to celebrate his feast is because you have Jesus birthed in your own heart and therefore should have a personal relationship with him. Being willing, like the Maccabees, to take a stand for the freedom of your faith.
Then actually every day is Christmas for you.
Amen. So, share this light bulb knowledge with someone else.
Don't hide it under a bushel.
Ask yourself, is your light shining? Is it even showing? Does your light supernaturally brighten up a room when you enter? We know the world is getting darker. Could it be because the Laodiceans' lights are getting dimmer? Is there a correlation, perhaps? Never forget, every moment of every hour, the kingdom of God is inside of you.
Well, remember the virtuous woman.
Oh, yeah, Proverbs 31, whose lamp does not go out by night. That's really talking about her righteousness through God, which never goes to sleep. Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 5, to the first church at Ephesus, who had left the first love, to repent. For he would remove their lampstand out of its place. Your lamp goes dim when the cares of this life overshadow it by stealing your time away from his word. Therefore, consuming a person to the point that his or her light is eclipsed. Jesus is the word is your battery, and the only way your light stays bright, for it recharges you. Remember Psalm 119, verse 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Let me say it again. Your light is meant to be seen, not hidden under a bush or under a bed.
Mark 4:21.
So, in a quick summary, the bottom line here is Hanukkah was not just the Maccabee army defeating Antiochus Epiphanes. The stronger miracle was God keeping the oil meant only for one day, but stayed lit for 8 days till they could replenish it with special cold pressed oil that takes a week to process. But later on, an even greater miracle was Yeshua's incarnation into Mary on the eighth day of Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Dedication, in the winter, as stated in John 10. when Jesus, now in his 30s, went to the temple on the last or eighth day of Hanukkah. The reason he declared his deity to the Jews on that day is because, unbeknown to them, was his anniversary of his incarnation on the new moon on the eighth day of the Lesser Feast of Lights and born on the Greater Feast of Lights 280 days later in the fullness of time, therefore on a full moon. After all, he is the light of the world. Now, if you were God, wouldn't you as well set it all up just like that, showing his amazing detail, confirming once again that he is our only supreme God and master of the universe. Yes, traditionally we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, which wouldn't be my choice, but it's not the date of his birth that's most important. It's the fact that indeed he was born at all. So let's remember that point and for heaven's sake, stifle the Santa thing. He's just a distraction from the enemy and to placate secular society. Rather, give out the true gospel and take advantage of this very lighted season. Now, if Jesus is not your supreme Lord over your life, repent of your sins and invite him into your heart. Open that door because he's knocking to come in. I'm going to leave you tonight with the Hanukkah blessing and then stay tuned as we close tonight's message with the blessing, this time in song of number 622. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us through his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah lights. Be blessed. We will see you next week, and we will quickly summarize Hanukkah again because it does start this Sunday. So, until next time, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and let this song be a blessing to you.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.